Good evening, Jacksonville. You're listening to the Marketing Advisor Radio Show. My name is Treg Keswick. Joining me today is John Vaccaro.
That's right.
The great. And you're a good guy.
Thanks, man.
I appreciate it. You know what you're doing. And you're an asset to the show. Thanks for being here. We had an event today, didn't we?
We did, yeah. The First Alert Hurricane Expo over at the Morocco Shrine.
Tremendous event, especially given the fact that our region, Northeast Florida's proclivity to storms, named storms. There's supposed to be two big storms this year hit our state.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can never tell where those things are going to go.
No.
But how does that relate to, you know, the business owner, the decision maker who's listening to our program, driving down the road to the movie theater or to dinner right now? How's this going to help them build their business?
By being at that event.
Well, yeah, their flux capacitor is probably busted.
Right.
And cannot
but,
go back
But events
in time.
Like it. I mean, I think a lot of people hesitate, Treg, on being a part of events because they picture an expo or they picture a show of that sort and they think, I don't think me standing behind a table inside of a booth is gonna really grow my business or anything like that. And you're right, it's not the answer to the test, but it's certainly part of it and it certainly helps.
I would agree if that's the impetus behind not being there. I would agree with that. You probably being behind a booth is not gonna help you all that much. You have to be engaged.
Right. And that is the key. And what I want to kind of talk about my spin or take on this is I want you to think about something. So in Northeast Florida, I mean, two very active hurricane seasons back to back, and now we're going into another one that they're saying is going to be pretty active as well. So the timing's right. But I want you to think about this. The First Alert Hurricane Expo. You're not stumbling into that by mistake.
Right.
You're not accidentally just driving around and, oh, Hurricane Expo. I love hurricanes and going in. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is by someone showing up at that, they're pre-qualifying themselves. They're saying, I have property, whether that's a car, a home, or both. I have property. I have family and loved ones that I need to prepare for and protect. And so, I mean, they're qualifying themselves, in my opinion, by attending something like this. And then at that point, it's up to you to just solve their needs in whatever way that may be. But that being said, any event, whether they're pre-qualifying themselves or not by showing up, you're not going to get much of anything by standing behind the table and just passing out, you know, fridge magnets and stuff like that. You got to engage. And that is the secret right there to events, in my opinion. It's the engagement.
I would agree with you. And, you know, it's not just events like the Hurricane Expo we had today. But I'm talking about concerts and places where people are at their happiest. If you are associating your brand with these folks when they are at the happiest, one of the happiest times in their life, they're having a good time with their friends, and find a way to engage with them. You know, we have concerts throughout town throughout the year, and some of the most compelling interaction that I've seen with the audience is these fake tattoos that give the lineups.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Well, there's a reason people go to these shows. When I say shows, now we're talking concerts. There's a reason they go. It's what they used to listen to when they were younger, what their parents used to listen to. It's what they're listening to now. It's a passion play. They're already excited. They're already fired up. They're here to have a good time. And if you execute it right, you're going to be part of that memory. You're going to be part of them having a good time. They're going to associate your brand with that awesomeness, that memory.
Right. So that when life happens and they need your particular brand of product or service or both, and they are choosing the top two or maybe three that they're looking to investigate to fulfill their need, they're going to remember that. And they're going to associate you with that good time. And that's where the rubber meets the road. It's not a direct response type of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly some things are. Certainly they are. But bigger ticket, longer sales cycle type items, typically not.
Right.
Typically not.
Right. So the ones that are doing it right, props to you, shout out to you, and you know who you are. If you're not doing it because you don't think it's going to work, you no offense, you probably are right because you probably don't know exactly how to engage the right way and have that right approach. If it's something you've been thinking about, certainly reach out to us. Marketing advisors, the email is
marketingadvisors@coxinc.com.
That's it.
Advisors with a it's plural, advisors with
right.
an S.
Right, plural, both of us.
Yes.
Right. And but reach out to us and ask, you know, this is something I've been looking to do. How can I engage? And we'll certainly throw some ideas out there and try to help in any way that we can. But on to something different.
No.
Okay. Events aside, we both did some snooping for some headlines this week about advertising and marketing, and we both found some pretty interesting ones.
Pretty compelling stuff, yeah.
When I say my mind was blown on something Treg found, my mind was blown.
It was blown.
Okay. I had to full on shut down, reboot. The world made sense once he told something to me today. So let's jump into it. Hit him with it, Treg.
Okay.
Mind blown in 3, 2, 1.
All right. So you've heard of the Greatest Generation, the folks that fought World War II. You've heard of the baby boomers. You've heard of Gen X, my generation. You've
mm-hmm.
heard of millennials, sometimes called Gen Y.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of Gen Z?
Earlier today, man. Earlier today, I did. I can't get over this.
All right. So Gen Z are the folks who were born after or 1997 or after. So just in context, that's the year I graduated college.
Oof.
I know, right? And so these folks are now 21.
Mm-hmm.
2018, 1997, do the math, they're 21.
I just checked it.
Yeah.
They're 21.
That's right. So a lot of them are, I mean, they're still young for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But consider this, even the ones who aren't working or earning income, even those, you know, you ask how much disposable income a person has, how much do these people have? All of it. All of it. They have no responsibility.
Stay with us here, folks. This is the part that made me mad. Keep going.
Okay. So the article that I read about this generation hyper-focused on travel.
Wait.
What?
You presented this to me different earlier.
I probably did.
Why do they have 100% disposable income, Treg? Hit them with it.
Well,
Hit them with the truth.
They don't have responsibilities.
They have none.
Right. They're still living at home. You know, we're talking about...
Meanwhile, guys like you and I, who's going to pay our bills? Us?
Right. Well, look, this is... Look, I'm not trying to pee on anybody's cornflakes here. It's just... It's reality. But they do have... They have money. And the money that they have is not obliged to the mortgage company or to the finance company for their car or to groceries or to JEA or to Comcast or anybody else who... is a bill that shows up monthly in my mailbox.
So if you're a parent and you're listening, dispose of their disposable income. You got to kick them out.
I don't think that's the lesson here, John. I might have to take back your asset to the show here. But that wasn't really the crux of what I had read about them. The article that I read about them focused on their travel. And I think that they were speaking predominantly of the 18 to 21 year olds, the
right.
college aged students.
Right.
And travel is a priority for them. They grew up, they're native digital speakers, right? So they grew up, Instagram's not like a new thing to them. It's
right.
That's all they've ever known is smartphones. I mean, okay, so smartphones weren't predominant in 1997, but they were babies too.
Right.
So when they started crawling and, you know, the smartphones got more popular.
Right.
Anyhow, they're native to the digital landscape, and they're also traveled with their parents. So traveling to them gives them equity. It gives them postable commodities. So envision this generation standing in front of, the Pietà or the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right, and taking a selfie. That's a commodity to this generation.
Postable commodity is the part that blew my mind when you said that. And I'm making a lot of jokes here, but I never understood the Facebook thing. I've always said it, to me, it's like an online popularity contest,
right.
You know? And when you said postable commodity, I was like,
right.
That's it.
That's what
they're
looking
for. There are selfies. It's look at me. Look at me. Look what I have. I have this experience and you don't. And here's my proof of it.
Well, that's, I think that's a large part of it. You know, they value experience over things. So that's, you know, and that's very akin to the millennials as well. You notice that the home ownership and car ownership, this share ride phenomenon with Uber and Lyft is taking off with that generation because they don't care to own things. They care
to do things.
They'd rather experience. Exactly. They value experience. So the point of this
is— Yeah, there's a reason for all of this.
There's a reason for all of this. So if your brand can come up with a compelling way to engage and allow that person to insert themselves into your brand somehow, you're going to win with this generation. And by the way, they're going to lifetime right now as of 2018, they're going to live longer than my generation, of course. They're going to live longer than millennials, right? So they've got the biggest lifetime value to brands, to marketers, to business owners.
Yeah. Well, this is bigger than you're thinking right now. Hang on. I'm not going to look for it. I'm just going to ask.
Yeah.
You said now it's a big chunk of the population.
It is. You know, it surprised me. They make up 26% of the US population and command, get this, over $143 billion
with a B
dollars. In today's economy, today,
yeah.
Today, this generation commands that. Now that's okay. So that includes everybody, even those who are too young to earn income, and have all of it to be disposed of with. They can spend it on whatever they wish.
Right.
But that's a big chunk of money, and
right.
To ignore these people, I think would be a detriment not only today, but you know, 10 years from now.
So this
20
is
years from
when
now.
I say this is bigger than we're probably thinking right now. I mean, we're talking about a huge economic swing and a huge swing in marketing and advertising as we know it, because your gut reaction is, I need to hit someone a little more older, a little more affluent, that's got some money, that's got their life together. No, because by the time I pay my mortgage, the car note, the bills, I feed the baby, and I get clothes and just maintenance and stuff like that, I don't have 100% disposable income like these guys do.
Right.
And so it's like you said, it's a detriment. If you're not reaching them, and this sucks, but the way that they want to be reached and engaged with—
But that's been true of every generation.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's just a different way of reaching them and engaging with them. And it's a different mindset. You want to find a way to get them to engage with your brand the way that they want to. But again,
experiences. And that kind of ties back to events.
And
you see what we did
just
there?
Just so that the audience doesn't think that these folks are what am I looking for? Like,
I don't
spoiled
know.
Brats, right? They're not. 69% of, and I can only assume from the article they're talking about the 18 to 21s, right? The people who can have jobs,
right.
that pay any kind of money.
Right.
Of those folks, 69% of them fund their own trips and vacations. They save for them, which harkens back to an older generation, which actually I was kind of glad to see. It's not like they're putting this stuff on the credit card and hoping for the best. They're actually saving for this stuff.
Right.
And it was good to see that. But, you know, we're coming to a close on this segment of the Marketing Advisors. It's an intriguing read.
Yeah,
to
say the least.
To investigate Gen Z. We hyper-focus a lot on the millennials right now because they're coming into power. You know, they've got money. Gen Xers, they're largely, you know, well, they're older. They were born 63 to 83, right? And millennials are 83 to 95. I guess it's not an exact science, but their generations are roughly 20 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one to start paying attention to and maybe not put your entire budget into, but certainly allocate a portion of your marketing endeavors into this.
Yeah.
You are listening to the Marketing Advisor Radio Show. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back, Jacksonville. You're listening to the Marketing Advisors on News 104.5 WOKB. I'm John Vaccaro. Luckily, I am able to join the one, the only, Trek Kasich. And if you missed our first segment just now, awesome, Gen Z, and
Gen Z.
we now know what that is.
Right. It's an herb, right?
It's no,
No?
no ginseng,
Oh, got
but I
it.
just don't know what it is. I know the word, but I don't know what it is.
Got it.
Call us if
Okay.
you know what ginseng is. No, but if you
Or
miss,
email us at marketingadvisors@coxinc.com.
shameless plug. I love it. I love it. No, if you missed that first segment, seriously, WOKV.com and the podcast is up there and you can check it. Just awesome stuff talking about this new generation that we're dealing with, and you're gonna have to adapt to market to them if you want to survive,
Yeah,
honestly.
you know what? One thing that I didn't mention when we were talking about the, and the article didn't, I was just contemplating it over the break, is that these people born 97 or largely don't remember 9/11. You know, such a pivotal moment in our country's history, and they don't, it's like it's history books for them, you know? Anyway, they are big. Isn't that amazing?
History books.
Yeah. Well, Wikipedia, come on. Yeah, so they're 26% of the population. They command about $143 billion
With
in
a
the U.S.
B.
economy.
Yeah.
That's right. Plus, consider this,
They're not to be
marketers.
overlooked. Like,
They're not.
honestly, and I said it earlier, but your gut, your instinct tells you, I need to market my business, my services, my products to someone a little more established, a little more affluent, someone who has their life together, that has money and all that. But these guys, it's theirs, they spend it. The 100% disposable income, all of it.
Yeah. For a large portion of that generation, yes. Some of them are, you know, contributing to the economy in the workforce.
And we thank you for that, by the
Yeah,
way.
absolutely. But here's, consider this too, business owners, Mr. and Mrs. Decision Maker. These folks are not used to being marketed to. In other words, they haven't been marketed to or advertised to with various brands over the past 40, 50, 60 years. They're open. They are open to different brands that older generations just wouldn't be open to.
They are not brand loyal.
Right.
You're
They are
right.
not. And
You're right.
if you approach them in a compelling way, if you come to them with a way for them to insert themselves into your product, your brand story.
It's got to be about them.
It's got to be. And that's,
Postable
but you know
commodities.
what? That's not new to that generation. It's just the age. But that's okay. I mean, that's the marketing is not about changing the way things happen. It's about taking advantage of the way things happen. So that's what we do here in the Marketing Advisor Radio Show. So this is a short segment, John. What are we going to be talking about the after the break?
Okay.
Because
So
you had an article,
that was your article.
right?
Okay. Not impressed.
Oh.
Gotta tell you. Okay.
Gee,
Now,
okay. Tough crowd.
my article
Oh,
that I found. Okay.
right.
It's gonna be cool. I wanna dive into it. It's they call it the customer journey, which we know is wrong. It's a consumer journey.
Consumer
Okay.
journey,
They're
yeah.
wrong, we're right.
Right.
But what's interesting is it basically says the consumer journey, article writer, as you know it, is dead and gone and it's lost. And it's up to you as a business owner, if you're going to market and you're going to advertise, to find your consumers and their journey
Kind of
in
a
it.
Where's Waldo of advertising.
Yeah, listen, when we get back, okay, there's a lot of things that support what we've already said about consumer journey before. I like it. We're going to talk about it. It's a lot of things that I don't like. They're trying to debunk us. We will debunk them back,
Right. My
okay?
Polish grandfather used to call that spraggish.
Yeah,
It's a
we're going
bunch
to
of
spraggish
spraggish.
them in a minute, is what we're going to do when we get back.
Yeah. Well, you are listening to the Marketing Advisor Radio Show. Listen, if you've got some questions specific to Gen Z or the consumer journey, whatever, anything related to marketing, please feel free to
The real
email
journey.
us. Huh?
The real journey. The
The
only
real,
journey.
the only the consumer journey. Email us at marketingadvisors, plural with an S, at coxinc.com. We'll be happy to answer it. Sometimes, maybe even on air. We will be back in mere moments.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Marketing Advisors on News 104.5 WOKV. John Vaccaro joining Treg Kasich in the studio.
Howdy.
And going to apologize for that last little short segment we did where it sounded all staticky on my mic. Chalk that up to Rusty, and we'll
Yeah, it's
move
got to
on
be
from it.
Rusty's fault somehow, some way.
You know, some people have gremlins in their cars and
We
in their
have
machine. We have
Rusty's.
a Rusty.
Yes.
Yeah, Rusty's. Same rules apply. Don't feed them after midnight. Don't get them wet.
That's a mogwai.
Okay. Different from a Rusty?
different from a Rusty.
We'll talk about that next segment. Yeah. Anyway, so we, if you heard, maybe you didn't, we've got this other article, significantly more interesting than Treg's article that he brought up today.
Ha!
But it talks about the customer journey, which we all know is wrong.
It's the consumer journey.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of things in this article.
So clearly, even after reading the title, you went further with it? I think that's user error right there.
Yeah, because I got to have something to blow holes in, and so this is what we're going to do. We're going to blow holes in their ship.
Okay.
But there are some things I did like about this. So the whole thing that caught my attention, this is saying your customer journey led marketing is lost, and it's time for you to find the way. So that piqued my interest. So what this, in a nutshell, is saying is if you're going to be able to adapt your business, adapt your marketing, and kind of roll with the punches and continue to grow, you've got to know your customers and know where they're at, where they're coming from, what they're doing, and how they're engaging with you. And so I'm going to read the opening little piece of this.
Okay.
And Treg, I read it to you earlier, but a shopper visits your showroom, goes to your website, joins your email list, eventually buys 6 of your products, some at your store, others at big box retailers, and also calls your help desk and downloads your mobile app.
Sounds like a good customer to me.
That's a great customer. Then it says, now for the hard question. Can you look across those interactions and recognize that each engagement came from the same person? So, no.
Probably not.
You can't. And so you can, but you can't and you shouldn't. So what this says is that there's two issues here. One is siloed data. And we have talked about this before. You cannot put it in silos, right?
No, you shouldn't. I think a lot of people try to.
Well, they don't try to, they do.
And by siloing, let's just be clear, what we mean by siloing is people want to say, all right, well, here's my radio campaign. How much revenue is this generating for me? Here's my television campaign.
And you've seen this before, folks, by the way. It's, how did you hear about us?
Right. Yeah. Here's my digital budget. Here's what I'm spending on SEM, paid per click, whatever you care to call it. How much is this generating for me? And that's what's known as siloing your marketing budget. And that's precisely what we're saying stay away from, because it's not how any of this works.
And the reason we say not to, and he's right, it's not how any of this works. The reason we say not to is because you've all seen it, the little question at the bottom, how did you hear about us? Billboard, really? Really, you bought this brand new Cadillac because of the billboard.
Right.
Good. Not because you needed one or wanted a car or had money, but because of the billboard.
And the reality is that the billboard probably contributed to it.
It absolutely did.
In some form or fashion. But it wasn't. Usually what gets that answer is online, internet. Because that's the last point of contact prior to
purchase.
You
saw it on the billboard and then you went searching for it later and then you found it on the internet, and so you think, oh, the internet, I'll write that down. And that's why we say don't put it in silos, because what it'll do is it'll make you make a knee-jerk reaction. Okay, you'll cancel something that probably is working for you, or you'll go all in on something that probably is not working for you. But so anyways, back to this article.
Yeah.
Okay, you can track it, you shouldn't, and it's also saying you can't. So what do I mean by that? So it says siloed data. That's what we mean by siloed data. But the other problem is it says it's organizationally. And so basically, you would have to get the people that are tracking your app and its interactions to be on the same platform and engaging and communicating with the people that are monitoring your website, which would need to be engaging and communicating and transparent with the people that are monitoring your outside sales from the big box retailer. Mm-hmm. That would also need to be on the same page with your cashier and your storefront that's doing that. And so basically it's saying that there's so much that could go wrong in between that you have no way of knowing that Susie did all of those things that I just read about. Okay, that she bought 6 items and that she went on the app and called the help desk and did all those things. You have no way of doing that because eventually she gets lost in the mix.
Right. Okay? That makes sense. Well, and you know, we did discuss this prior to the segment, so I do have a little bit of working knowledge about this article that you're discussing. Mm-hmm. So there's another aspect of that too, and that's the quality of the data itself.
Right. So that's challenge number 2 in this article.
Okay.
And it says the incomplete data. What do you mean by that, John? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to learn y'all something today, okay?
I'm glad you asked.
Raise your hand if you have ever lied about your information to somebody. Maybe you're at a store and they say, can we get a good number to call you back on? And you maybe don't give them a good number, right?
You're one digit off.
Right. Okay. So
I've never done that, by the way.
That is what this is alluding to. Okay. And so what it means is, A, people lie. Okay. And B, here's a little fun fact in here. 60% of customer identity data is outdated within 2 years.
That makes sense.
Why, Treg?
Well, folks move. Life changes.
They move.
They get sick of the constantly clogged up Gmail account and move to a Yahoo.
They change their phone number.
How
many times have you texted somebody, new phone, who's this? Right? Or you see on Facebook, they're like, hey, lost my number, got a new one, message me so I have your number. Whatever.
Yeah.
Point being, if you think you're following Susie because Susie bought all your items and she downloaded your app and you did all that, but Susie turns into Kevin halfway through all that and you don't know that.
That's a different issue.
Right.
And that's not what our show is about.
Right. But, oh, no. So it's 2018, Trek. What this is saying is that there's so much that can go wrong. And if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. And there's so much stuff that's inaccurate to begin with that stop trying to look at the consumer or the customer's data and their digital footprint and just look at your customer. Know your customer. So this is all stuff we've talked about. And I said there's a lot of things that support things we've mentioned before, like don't put it in silos and stuff like that. And don't get so caught up in the numbers and the analytics of things.
Analysis paralysis is what I've heard it called.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So what do I not like about it?
Uh-oh.
You're telling us that the consumer journey is lost, and it's up to you as a business owner to find it and to market to that person again and all that. That is analysis paralysis, if you ask me. That is getting caught up in the numbers and in the stuff like that, because if you ask me, we've talked about the consumer journey before, and our listeners know that. It is not dead. And I don't care if you're buying a roof, if you're buying a soda, if you're whatever, if you're buying a house, buying a car, everyone takes the same journey. And we've talked about that. A situation has to occur, okay?
Yeah, something in your life has to have happened for you to be in the market for that particular product or service or both. And that is what you're saying has not changed, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's important. I think also if you follow, if you're looking at the consumer, the customer, as this article calls it, if you're looking at that person or that group of people, then you avoid a not so subtle trap that a lot of marketers or business owners will fall into. And you know, the reality is that people fall in and out of the wheelhouse of what they're looking for. So I'll give you an example. You know, when I was 10 years old, I was a hot prospect for toys, right? But at 44, I'm probably not, you know? So if you're looking at the group, the core group of who is the heavy user for your product or service, it's okay if individual people fall in and out, so long as you're continuing to market to the heavy user with a compelling message
right.
and keeping it consistent across all platforms.
Right. So I'm not completely bashing this article. There's a lot of really interesting things that I liked about it, things that I learned that I didn't know. 60% of all of it's just inaccurate and wrong 2 years into it, and that's important to know. But it's exactly like you're saying. If you know your customers, don't worry about every little digital move that your customer made. Like, yes, it's important, but not really. You shouldn't be basing all your decisions on just that, because this is telling you that information is inaccurate anyways.
In fact, you know, to the contrary, most of my customers, most of my clients, the main number that they're looking for is revenue year over year.
Right.
So after 1 year of marketing, you know, with Treg, are my numbers up or not?
Right.
And that is the determining factor.
And if you absolutely have to put this in silos, Treg and I will agree on this, only two silos, relational and transactional.
Correct.
the stuff that's reaching them relationally, that's just branding yourself, that's making sure that they know who you are and they know what you do. Track that stuff together, and then the transactional when they're ready to...
Let's give some solid examples of relational. Television would be a relational type of medium. It tells a story. Radio would fall into that category. I would even say that things like native on the digital realm, on the digital platforms, would be considered relational because you're bringing them into your brand and telling a story. And anything that brings the consumer into your brand, tells them a story about you in some form or fashion, that's relational. The transactional stuff is, pay-per-click, right? Paid search.
Right. It's the very intentional stuff. I'm Googling a car mechanic because I need this fixed. I need this purchased now.
Your website.
Right.
That's transactional.
Right.
Actually, it's a morphing of both, you know, because some people, they'll go there a number of times before they actually pull the trigger on something.
Right. So it's ringing, stuff like that. It's the very intentional, I'm ready to buy right. actions and activities.
Right. So what you're saying is that if you've got to silo it that way between relational and transactional.
I think you would agree. Yeah. I would. That's what I would do. So I mean, again, good stuff here. But just take it with a grain of salt. Don't get the, what'd you call it?
Analysis paralysis?
That.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, don't get so caught up in it because chances are the information's not even accurate.
Right.
And how, would you make your marketing decisions based on inaccurate information? The answer to that's no.
No.
I'd just be very careful with that stuff.
Now, we did mention native. So we're coming to a close here, but we do have a short segment coming up. I would like to get into a little bit about native.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we just start with telling the audience what native advertising is.
Right now or when we get back?
No, right now. We got about a minute.
A really quick example of native to me. You're scrolling through Facebook, and all of a sudden you see a post of some sort, and it's like the top 6 things you need in order to have the best possible summer in barbecues this year.
Right.
Top trends of 2018. And then you click on it, and you start going through, and it starts listing everything. You know, people are really into this kind of meal this year. People are enjoying the outdoors this way this year. And number 3, if you're going to be cooking anything, it's got to be on a Weber grill. And Weber's got the brand new blankety-blank 9000 grill. And so that's the one you should be using. That's the best grill so far in 2018, and here's where you can buy a Weber grill. And then the next thing you need to have in this segment is this, and that's an example of native. Weber paid for that content,
right, and you know, it's nothing new. The platform's new. It's on the digital platform, but newspapers did this years ago. They probably still do,
right,
you know, with these articles that look as if they are part of the content, but they're really sponsored,
right? So we'll get into that more in a minute.
So, you're listening to the Marketing Advisor Radio Show. We'll be back momentarily.
Good evening, folks. You're listening to the Marketing Advisor Radio Show. My name is Treg Kesick. I was joined by John Vaccaro. Don't know where he is. He's MIA. I'm not waiting on him. We have had an exciting episode today. We're talking about Gen Z, not an herb, turns out. I know. I thought it was, too. Apparently, it's people born after 1997. These folks are coming into their own. They're starting to make money. In fact, I'm not going to go into everything, but some points of notes of point. They make up 26% of the population. They command over $143 billion in the U.S. economy alone this year. And so they're not to be ignored. They prefer to be engaged with brands that allow them to insert themselves. So think selfies in front of your brand or with your brand or product. So good stuff with that. Something also to consider with them is that they're not used to being marketed to. They're not brand loyal like so many of the older generations are. You should consider allocating some of your marketing budget towards that generation. It is the generation that's going to outlive the rest of us currently. They've got the longest lifetime, so they have the bigger lifetime value to your organization and shouldn't be ignored. We also talked about, well, John had found an article about the consumer journey and some of the things we agreed with, some of the things we didn't. But, you know, the takeaway from that really was to not silo your marketing, either in budget or in discerning the ROI. You know, don't think of it as, well, what did my radio campaign generate for me this month? Or what did my TV campaign, what did my paid search? That's not the way it works, really. It's kind of a strange morphing of all these things together. I mean, you think of the bigger advertisers in this market alone and how you see them everywhere. You see them on the billboard, on the bus, on television, radio, online. They're everywhere, and that's the point. They want to get their story in front of their prospects as many times as fiscally possible so that when life happens, they are considered in that process of pulling the trigger and actually buying. But we touched on native, and we had mentioned that native advertising, it's nothing new. It's not a new concept at all. In fact, newspapers have been doing it for years, selling content, well, what looks to be like content in their newspaper products, but it's actually paid advertisement. You know, it's paid advertising that is made to look like content. And that's making a big splash in the digital realm. And the way it's mainly manifesting itself is in Facebook feeds. For instance, you'll see, the top five things to look for when preparing for a hurricane. That's a good example because we just had our Hurricane Expo earlier today. And, things like that, the sponsor, it's content, but it's sponsored content. So what you'll find at the end of this top five things type article is that they're pushing you to a particular brand, a particular business. And it's smart marketing. It's a good way to covertly get your brand, your message in front of your target consumer and do it in a way that's engaging and fun. That's what folks are looking for, particularly on the social brands. But, you know, this is a short segment, and I don't want to belabor the point, but if you have any questions, if there's anything that we went over today that you would care to revisit or go into a little bit more depth, please feel free to email either John or I at marketingadvisors@coxinc.com. That's marketingadvisors, plural, at Cox, COXINC.com. You have been listening to the Marketing Advisor Radio Show on News 104.5 WOKV. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.